Welcome back to CyberShield Weekly. I'm Alex, and joining me as always is Sarah, our resident cybersecurity analyst. It is Tuesday, July 1st, 2026, and this is Volume 1, Issue 40.
Hey everyone, really glad you're here this week, because we have a packed episode, and honestly, some of this stuff genuinely caught my attention in ways that not every week does.
Same. This week we are covering a state-sponsored espionage group using a tool you probably have open on your laptop right now as a secret communications channel. We have a 250,000 websites running crypto scam infrastructure. We have the NCSC, that's the UK's National Cybersecurity Center, sounding the alarm on Fortinet firewalls and VPNs. And we're going to talk about why post-quantum cryptography is no longer something you can schedule for 2028.
And in our small business corner, we're connecting all of this to what it actually means if you're running a 50-person company with a lean IT team and a real budget.
Plus, our tech tip this week is a practical walkthrough on monitoring outbound cloud traffic, something any operations manager can start asking about today. And we've got Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation at the CTO's desk, who has some very colorful things to say about this week's threat landscape.
He really does. Let's get into it.
All right. Top threats. Let's start with the story that frankly dominated my reading this week, Mustang Panda. Sarah, set the scene.
So Mustang Panda is a Chinese state-sponsored threat group, meaning they work on behalf of the Chinese government to conduct espionage. They have been around for years. They are not new. But what is new, and what Acronis' threat research unit uncovered this week, is how they are operating their current campaigns against Indian government targets and hydropower infrastructure.
And how is the key word here? Because this is genuinely clever.
It really is. So normally, when a hacker group controls malware on a victim's computer, they need what's called a command and control server. Think of it as the puppet master's control booth. And security teams have gotten pretty good at spotting traffic going to sketchy servers in weird corners of the internet.
So Mustang Panda decided to hide in plain sight.
Exactly. They are using Zoho WorkDrive, a legitimate, widely used cloud storage and collaboration platform, as their command channel. Your firewall sees traffic going to Zoho, and it thinks, that's fine, that's a business tool. Meanwhile, the malware is checking in, receiving instructions, exfiltrating data, all hidden inside what looks like completely normal cloud activity.
And they deployed new malware to do this. What are we looking at?
Acronis identified new malware variants in these active compromises. The details on naming are still emerging, but the technique of using legitimate cloud services as command and control infrastructure, sometimes called living off trusted sites, is an evolution that defenders have to take seriously.
So let's connect this to a 50-person company, because someone listening might say, okay, Indian government targets hydropower. That's not me.
Right, and here's why that thinking is dangerous. The technique does not stay exclusive to nation-state targets. Once a method works this well, hiding malicious traffic inside legitimate cloud services, criminal groups adopt it. We have seen this pattern over and over again. Today, it's Indian government infrastructure. 18 months from now, it's a regional accounting firm in Ohio.
And the practical takeaway right now?
Two things. One, you need to be monitoring outbound traffic patterns, not just blocking known bad destinations. If a machine on your network is suddenly uploading gigabytes to a cloud service at 2 a.m, that is a signal. Two, make sure your security tools have visibility into cloud application usage. Most small businesses have their firewall pointed at the internet, but have zero visibility into what their cloud apps are actually doing.
We're going to come back to that in the tech tip. Let's move to the next story, because the scale of this one is almost hard to believe. 236,000 websites.
Yeah, so researchers at Infoblox published findings this week showing that more than 236,000 websites have been built using a legitimate Chinese open source development framework called dCloud UniApp. Perfectly normal tool, developers use it to build cross-platform apps. But someone, or more accurately, a large organized criminal operation, has created scam templates using this framework and deployed them at massive scale.
What kind of scams?
Crypto investment scams, phishing pages, and what are called wallet drainers, which are exactly what they sound like. You connect your cryptocurrency wallet to what you think is a legitimate exchange or investment platform, and the site immediately drains every asset out of your wallet. Gone. Instant.
And because these sites are all built on the same legitimate framework, they look professional. They look real.
They absolutely look real. That is the whole point. This is the industrialization of cybercrime. This isn't one guy in a basement. This is a sophisticated operation running what amounts to a factory. Scam sites on demand, deployed at scale.
What should business owners be thinking about here?
If your employees, your customers, or your vendors interact with anything cryptocurrency related, now is the time to have a direct conversation about verification. Before anyone connects a wallet, before anyone sends funds, verify the platform through an independent channel. Call them, look them up on a source you already trust. Do not rely solely on how professional a website looks, because these sites are designed by people who are very good at making things look professional.
Great point. And this also connects to employee training, which we'll revisit in the Small Business Corner. Okay, the third story I want to hit this week is actually a theme coming out of the weekly recap from our intelligence sources, and it's about Linux kernel vulnerabilities and AI-assisted malware. Sarah, break this down.
So this week's recap highlighted a few things that really paint a picture together. First, Linux kernel flaws. Linux is the operating system running most of the world's servers, cloud infrastructure, and networking equipment. So when the kernel, which is the core of the operating system, has vulnerabilities, the potential blast radius is enormous.
And kernel just means the most fundamental layer of the operating system, the part that everything else depends on.
Right. And the trend this week is that researchers are finding vulnerabilities that, while they may seem minor in isolation, can be chained together, meaning attackers combine two or three smaller weaknesses to achieve something much more damaging.
And then there's the AI angle.
This is the part that I think people in the business community need to hear, because there's a tendency to think AI is a future problem. Attackers are already using AI to make malware smarter, to help it evade detection, to adapt its behavior, to write more convincing phishing emails. We are also seeing research this week on what's called a Claude code attack, where researchers demonstrated that harmless-looking code repositories could be used to hijack developer machines. Claude code is an AI-assisted coding tool. The attack exploits the trust developers place in the AI.
So even the tools we're adopting to be more productive are becoming attack surfaces.
Exactly. Every new tool is also a new door. That doesn't mean don't use them. It means understand what doors you're opening.
Let's move to government alerts. What should our listeners know from the official channels this week?
The headline from the government side this week is the NCSC advisory, and this is a big one. The UK's National Cybersecurity Center issued an alert following a campaign specifically targeting Fortinet firewalls and VPN gateways. And for our US listeners, this is directly relevant. The NCSC coordinates with CISA, which is the US Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and these advisories reflect global threat activity.
Fortinet is one of the most widely deployed firewall and VPN vendors in the world. Tons of small and mid-sized businesses run Fortinet equipment.
Huge SMB presence. So if you have a Fortinet firewall or use Fortinet's VPN, and a VPN is essentially a secure tunnel that lets your employees connect to company systems remotely, you need to act on this right now.
What specifically?
Three things. First, check that your Fortinet devices are running the latest firmware. Fortinet regularly releases security patches, and you need to be on current versions. Log into your device management interface or call your IT provider today and ask them specifically, are our Fortinet devices fully patched? Second, review who has administrative access to those devices. Remove anyone who doesn't currently need it. Third, check your logs for unusual login attempts or access from unexpected geographic locations.
And if you don't know how to do any of that?
Then that is the phone call you need to make today. Not this week, today. Because active campaigns means attackers are scanning for vulnerable devices right now.
There is also a strategic data point from the NCSC CEO that puts all of this in context. Dr. Richard Horn stated that hostile states are linked to 3/4 of cyber attacks affecting critical infrastructure in the UK. 3/4.
And that's not just a UK problem. That tells us about the nature of the threat globally. State-sponsored actors have resources, patience, and strategic intent that criminal groups often don't. They will wait, they will probe, they will find the one unpatched firewall in a supply chain vendor and use it to reach their actual target.
Which brings us perfectly to the Small Business Corner, because the supply chain angle is exactly why SMBs need to understand they are not too small to matter.
This is something I feel really strongly about. There's a mindset, and I hear it often, that says, why would anyone target us? We're 50 people. We make widgets. We're not interesting.
And the reality is?
The reality is that attackers are not always after you. Sometimes they're after your client, or your vendor, or the government agency you do contract work for. You are a door. And doors don't have to be interesting. They just have to be unlocked.
So what does this week's threat picture mean for the SMB specifically?
A few very practical things. On the Fortinet issue, check your equipment. If you're not sure what firewall you have, open a ticket with your IT provider this week with the subject line, what firewall do we use and is it current? That's it. That one email could save you.
Simple.
On the AI risk,
The shift to AI-assisted tools in your business, whether that's AI coding assistants, AI customer service bots, AI document tools, each one of those needs to be evaluated for what data it touches and what permissions it has. You don't have to be a technical expert to ask your IT person, what does this tool have access to, and is that access appropriate?
And on the crypto scam infrastructure, the 236,000 sites, for SMBs, this is primarily a user education issue.
Completely. One short team meeting. Hey everyone, there is a massive wave of fake crypto investment sites right now. If anyone approaches you online about investment opportunities, or if you're browsing crypto anything and you're not on a platform you've used before and verified, come talk to us first. That conversation costs nothing and could save someone from losing their savings.
All right, tech tip time. This week, we're talking about how to start monitoring outbound cloud traffic. And we're coaching this as if you are talking to a non-technical business owner who needs to have the right conversation with their IT team.
Love this one because it's one of those things that sounds complicated, but the starting point is actually very accessible.
Walk us through it.
Okay, so the concept is simple. Most security tools are set up to watch what comes into your network, blocking bad websites, scanning incoming email for viruses. But Mustang Panda and attacks like it prove that the threat is also going out, data leaving your network through legitimate looking channels.
So what do you do?
Step one, this week, have a conversation with whoever manages your IT or your firewall. Ask them specifically, do we have visibility into outbound cloud traffic? Can we see what cloud services our devices are talking to and how much data is going where?
And if the answer is no?
Then step two is asking about a category of tools called CASB, Cloud Access Security Broker. Don't worry about the acronym. Just tell your IT provider you want to understand what cloud apps your company is using and whether any of them are behaving unexpectedly. Many firewall platforms, including Fortinet and others, have this built in. You may already be paying for it without using it.
Step three?
Ask for a simple report, just a list. What are the top 10 cloud services our company's devices are connecting to, and are any of them unfamiliar? You don't need a PhD to look at that list and say, wait, why are we sending traffic to a service I've never heard of?
That is genuinely something any operations manager or office manager can push on.
Completely. You don't need to understand the technical details. You just need to ask the right question. And that question is, what is leaving our network? And do we know where it's going?
Perfect. All right, CTO's desk. Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation. Daniel had a lot to say this week, and I want to pull out the strategic threads because he connects them really well.
Daniel's take on the WhatsApp username feature is a good place to start, actually, because it's the one genuinely good news item this week.
Right. WhatsApp announced global rollout of usernames. So instead of sharing your phone number to connect with someone on WhatsApp, you can share a username. Optional feature, but Daniel's point is, use it.
And the business angle there is real. A lot of small business owners use WhatsApp for client communication, vendor coordination, even internal team chats. Your phone number is a credential. The less widely you distribute it, the smaller your social engineering attack surface. That's the technical term for the ways attackers try to manipulate or deceive you using personal information.
The smaller that surface, the fewer handles attackers have to grab onto.
Exactly. Daniel uses the analogy of a PO box versus taping your home address to a billboard. I think that lands perfectly.
His take on Mustang Panda. He zeroes in on the supply chain and cloud monitoring angle, which we covered. But I want to hit his point about the 236,000 D-Cloud sites, because the number itself is the message.
236,000. That is not a campaign. That is an industry. And Daniel's framing of having the talk with your users about Web3 and crypto is right. If anyone in your organization, employee, customer, partner, interacts with crypto at any level, they need to understand that the infrastructure of fraud at this scale means the odds of encountering a malicious site are not low.
And then there's Daniel's final strategic point, which I think is the most important forward-looking item in this entire episode, post-quantum cryptography.
Okay, let me translate this for anyone who just heard post-quantum and felt their eyes glaze over. Here is the plain English version. Today, almost all of our digital security, passwords, banking, secure websites, email encryption, is protected by math problems that current computers cannot solve in any reasonable amount of time.
And quantum computers change that.
Quantum computers, which are advancing rapidly, though they're not widely available yet, can solve those math problems, which means the encryption protecting your credentials and your communications today will eventually be breakable.
But here's the thing that most people miss. The threat isn't just future decryption, it's harvest now, decrypt later.
Right, and this is critical. Attackers are already stealing encrypted data today. Credentials, communications, sensitive files, and storing it. They cannot read it now, but they are betting that when quantum computers mature, they will be able to go back and decrypt everything they have been collecting.
So the time to start transitioning is not when quantum computers arrive.
The time is now. And Daniel's point is specifically about credentials, usernames, passwords, authentication tokens. Start there. Ask your IT team or your security vendor, are we on a roadmap to quantum-resistant authentication? NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, finalized its first set of post-quantum cryptography standards in 2024. Your vendor should be talking about this. If they're not, ask.
And as Daniel puts it, the quantum computers will not wait for your next budget cycle.
Perfectly said.
All right, let's bring this home. Three takeaways from this week.
Number one, if you are running Fortinet equipment, patch it today. Not this week, today. Call your IT provider, ask specifically about the NCSC advisory on Fortinet firewalls and VPN gateways, and confirm you are on current firmware. Active campaigns are happening right now.
Number two, start asking about outbound cloud traffic monitoring. The Mustang Panda story proves that the threat is not always coming in. Sometimes it's already inside and going out through tools you trust. Ask your IT team what is leaving your network and whether any of it looks unexpected.
Number three, post-quantum is not a future problem. If your credentials and encrypted data are being harvested today for future decryption, the window to act is now. Ask your vendors where they stand on quantum-resistant security. Get that conversation started.
That's it for this week's CyberShield Weekly. If this episode was useful to you, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever that is for you, and share it with a colleague who could use a clearer picture of what's happening out there.
These conversations matter. The more informed business leaders are, the harder it is for attackers to find the unlocked doors.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Stay sharp, stay patched, and stay skeptical.
Take care, everyone.